2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and DeGenevic.
You're going to see a lot of headlines today when it comes to the Inflation Reduction Act. This is $35 a vial cap for insulin was blocked, and it did not pass as part of the IRA. Inflation Reduction Act. But Utah has its own cap on inflation or on insulin. We're going to talk about that in just a moment.
This was interesting because a lot has been made about insulin and how much insulin should cost. This one failed from what I remember. And again, there's so many different angles to this bill and so many amendments. The Votaram, it was crazy. But I think it was the Senate parliamentarian that nixed this one. The way it was written didn't comply to the rules. Very, very interesting. But I think when we're talking about insulin, part of the reason why we're so fired up about it, insulin has been around forever. It's been around for 100 years, Debbie. 100 years. Mm. So when you see families that are spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month on insulin, it's fair to ask, why?
President Biden, he talked about this. It was more than a year ago. He's had plans for a long time about capping the price of insulin. I'm with you, Dave. Why is it taking so long?
It's estimated that 34 million Americans, 10% of the population, have diabetes, including more than 1.5 million who have type 1 diabetes, requiring daily doses of insulin in varying quantities. Remember, all of this stress, hardship, suffering, and sacrifice is due to a drug that costs just a few bucks to make. One study found that Americans pay 10 times as much as other countries for insulin. These price increases are about companies looking to maximize profits and nobody standing up for the patients.
Do you look up the price of insulin these days?
It's more than $35.
Yeah, I don't know what it is off the top of my head. Dave's doing the research over there. Representative Norman Thurston, you sponsored the insulin access amendment, and that was in 2020 in Utah, where you're going to it looked like the governor, from the headline I'm reading, governor signs law capping insulin copays at $30 for people with diabetes. So does the national debate back in D.C. impact what Utah's doing with the insulin price cap here?
It does, because of the way the government's regulate things differently. The state of Utah is not able to regulate every insurance plan for every employee and for every enrollee. There are some of those that are only regulated at the federal level. So there are some people that are not fully protected by Utah's law. We did provide a provision that gives them some protection. Everybody gets some protection, but some people are not fully protected because that's a federal responsibility for some of those people.
Representative Thurston, can you give us an idea why in the world is a drug that has been around for so long, that affects so many people, why are these prices so wildly varying from year to year?
Yeah, no, that's a crazy thing. So there are different types of insulin. There's the original insulin that was isolated over 100 years ago, and then there have been modern versions of insulin, sort of synthetics and other things that are more expensive. They're more difficult to make. But people should be able to get access to something that costs less than, say, $5 a vial, because it really legitimately costs like $1.50 to $3 to make most of those insulins. And so we have never gotten a straight answer from anybody is why is something that costs you less than $5 being sold for $150, $200, $250? Where's the competition that's supposed to be driving those things down to a more competitive range? And no one could really ever explain it other than, well, we just charge what we can, and that's what we get away with. And somehow it's been a problem.
One of the things I've seen in the past was, because we can charge more for insulin, because it is so profitable, it allows us to spend money on research and development of other drugs, drugs that otherwise wouldn't be developed. Is it fair to say, or is there an argument to be made that because we're able to charge more on these cheaper drugs, that other drugs become available?
Well, I mean, there is something to that, right? If you have a drug manufacturer and they have these incredibly generous profits that they can plow back into research and development with the idea that they're going to get even bigger profits in the future, they can do that. But our market structure has typically been, you get a certain amount of time to do that while the drug is still on patent. But once it goes off patent and becomes generic, we think, or it should be the case, that competition should drive those prices down so that that goes away. So that's why we have patents, but it shouldn't be the case for insulin. That shouldn't be happening here.
California is discussing creating and manufacturing their own insulin, basically doing it on the federal level. Would that be a possibility, or is that a move that many states will make?
Oh, it's definitely a possibility. So Civica Rx, which is affiliated with Intermountain Healthcare, is doing that. They are getting ready. They should have their production facilities up and running, I think, within the next 2 years, and they will produce their own generic version of insulin that can be used for anybody in their system. I don't know if they will make that available to people outside their system, but they could. And that would definitely be a market changer as well. If you have nonprofit organizations coming in and producing that insulin and giving it away at cost, that's a market changer as well.
Representative Norman Thurston on the line with us right now. He's a Utah State Representative. We're discussing the issue of insulin with him because Congress has basically booted this $35 cap on insulin out of the Inflation Reduction Act. And we're still not quite sure how insulin gets an Inflation Reduction Act. Other than, I suppose, if you're used to paying, you know, $300 for a month's supply of insulin and it's capped at $35, I mean, that does it reduce your personal inflation costs at home, Representative Thurston. But why do you suppose this has always just has fascinated me that this has become such a political debate? And it's we've been talking about insulin and the price of insulin on the show since this show was born, like 4 or 5 years ago here at KSL News Radio. What is going on that it is such a political football?
Yeah, well, what's happened, as far as I can tell, and again, nobody really knows for sure what's going on, but as far as I can tell, what's happened is that there are very few manufacturers, and they enter into these contracts with the PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers, for incredibly high prices with the promise that there could be rebates on the back end. So nobody really knows what anybody's really paying on, you know, on the inside of this big black box. But what we do know is what the consumer is paying, because when you go to the pharmacy to buy your insulin, you don't get any of that. You don't get any of the rebates. You don't get any of that. If you're pre-deductible, you got to write out a check for full retail price. And that's the thing that we know we can do something about, because we know what that looks like. We can say, yeah, that's got to stop. We can't have people who need this to survive showing up at the pharmacy and having to write out a check for $1,000.
Yeah.
Just to stay alive for the month. That doesn't make any sense to anybody why that should be the case when it costs, you know, less than $100 to produce for sure. And then they're just spending what money for what? And even if, you know, if David's right, well, so that money is great. That's going to go fund research. We're funding research on the back of people who are sick. That doesn't make any sense, right? None of that makes any sense. So we know we can solve that problem.
Well, the PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers, that is an entire podcast waiting to be had. So we appreciate you taking the time, Representative Norm Thurston, joining us.
So there's, to your point, Representative, as we say goodbye to him, Dave, I want to point this out. A Yale University study found 14% of those insulin users, of the 7 million Americans who are using insulin daily, 14% are spending more than 40%, or almost half of their income after food and housing costs, on medicine. Basically, what that's saying is they're financially wiped out.
Yeah.
Because of the cost of insulin. But Utah has this law in place that caps it at $30 for people with diabetes. But as Representative Thurston pointed out, there's some federal, or there's some insurance policies that are mandated through the, or regulated through the federal government, that the Utah law doesn't touch. And that's why this $35 insulin cap at the federal level was so important to so many who have diabetes.
Yeah. And from my understanding, as he was explaining that, not every company, not every insurance program covers that. It doesn't apply to everything. Mm-hmm. So having one consistent federal law, a cap, you can see where that would be so important for everyone to be playing by the same rules and have an expectation that, oh, if I'm going to purchase insulin, this is really what it's going to cost.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.